Morning again, everybody. We are going to be in the second letter to Timothy this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. We'll be there shortly. In 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 7, if you want to mark that in your Bible, to have it ready when we turn there. If you didn't bring a Bible, the scripture will be on the screen behind me when we get to that point. First of all, this will be our final sermon in our series, Family, God's Big Idea. We have been excited about what's happening here in our church through our Home Connection Ministry, how God is using families to grow both our actual church body as well as hopefully our strength of faith in this community in a way that will help us impact the world. And with that in mind, this morning, as we've talked about all the different aspects of familial relationships, from parents raising their children well, to spouses honoring each other, to children honoring their parents. One thing that we don't want to leave off at the end of that is the point of all of it, is that we are not trying to strengthen families just to strengthen families at FBC Grandview. We believe that that is something that pushes us to something even grander. Now, it's a joy of ours to strengthen families, but we do so with one other goal in mind, and that is to help us with the ultimate goal that we all share as Christians, to make disciples of all people, of all nations. And this morning, we're going to kind of camp out around that idea. I stand here before you today, freshly 33 years old, as of a couple weeks. Here in this place, God has led us to Grandview. It's been a great time that we've had already in the last 19, 20 months, however long that it's been. We hope to be here a long time. And I don't stand here today, nor is any of you do, without some other people behind us. Most specifically, people within our own family behind us. I grew up in a small country church that was several generations deep in my family. I talked to my mom last night to make sure, and it was her great-grandfather that started the church that we all grew up in. A little bitty church out in the country near Roscoe, Texas, named Champion Baptist Church. He was an Irishman, new to the country, and was one of the founding members of this church. Red hair, you know, everything you would think of with an Irishman. Except for the drinking part, I guess, since he was Baptist. But he was there. No offense if you're Irish. He was there in the church, and he was one of the founding members of it. And his faith impacts still today me. Several years later, when I was 15 years old, I mean several years later, we're talking generations at this point, I had the opportunity to be licensed to preach by my home church. I had a pastor who believed in me enough to give me the opportunity to stand in front of the entire congregation on a Sunday night at the age of 15 and preach. My first sermon was about guilt, of all things that a 15-year-old would preach on. And it was because of that history in our church that made it even more special. Several generations deep, having that opportunity, and I still have the certificate of license hanging in my office with all these names upon it, including my mom and my dad. My dad was a deacon, and of course, my grandfather, who was the chairman of the deacons at that time, along with several other people that are very near and dear to me. But all of us have that, or most of us, maybe not all of us, most of us who call ourselves Christians, we owe part of that fact, part of that reality in our lives to the generations that have come before us. Billy Graham is no different. Billy Graham was influenced by many, but according to his own testimony, his biggest influence came from home. In a book called God's Ambassador, Billy Graham, God's Ambassador, Graham says just this. He says, "Of all people that I have ever known, my mother had the greatest influence on me." In his autobiography, Just As I Am, which probably some of you have read, he writes similarly, "Jesus' word picture of a hen gathering her brood under her wing fits my mother. She saw to it that we gathered frequently and regularly, and not just around the dinner table or in front of the radio for our favorite broadcasts. She gathered us around herself and my father to listen to Bible stories, to join in family prayers, and to share a sense of the presence of God." So, arguably, the most important evangelist of our time says that the most influential person in his life was not another evangelist, although there was certainly other influential people in his life. But the most influential person in his life was his mother, who grew up on a dairy farm in North Carolina, that he grew up with on a dairy farm in North Carolina. This was the most influential person in his life. And so that's a reminder to all of us belonging to families. And when I say family, I hope you understand that, that families look a lot of different ways, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. But for those of us who belong to families, which is all of us in some way, this is a reminder that our impact can be bigger than we could ever imagine. Or to put it another way, and the truth that I want to put before you this morning is this: a ripple of faith at home has the potential to become a tidal wave of faith in the world. What starts at home can reverberate in such a way that it affects much more than you ever imagine. Indeed, affects an entire world. It started that way in the Graham household several years ago in North Carolina. When we think of those who have gone before us, we must realize that the lineage of our faith doesn't just reach back generation. It reaches back all the way into the stories of Scripture. We are all spiritually family of Moses and Abraham, just as we are Peter and Paul. As is stated in a quote attributed to Isaac Newton, "If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants." It is those who have come before us that have put us in the situation in which we now reside. And because of what countless others have done for us in our families, in our churches, we stand with our faith as it is today, both nationally and individually, in our own hearts and in our own churches. We have the simultaneously exciting and daunting privilege of continuing to pass that faith along to the next generation, of bearing this burden and this joy that we get to carry that faith on beyond ourselves into those who come after us. And in our key text this morning, Paul's second letter to his protege, to his person that he calls beloved son, Timothy, we see this amazing power of generational faith, of our faiths or God's faith in us, that faith's ability to go on to the next generation and affect those beyond us, maybe even some of those who we will never, ever meet. We see that both in Timothy's life and in Paul's life. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. This is Paul writing to Timothy. "I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience as I remember you, constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." First, it would help us to understand this passage, to understand why Paul is writing, what his purpose is in giving this final letter to Timothy. Some scholars believe this is not only Paul's final letter to Timothy, but Paul's final letter, period. That this was not long before he died in a Roman prison. Some scholars believe that. Others believe he got out and went somewhere else. But he seems to certainly feel that way, Paul does, that this might be the end of his road. If you read on through the rest of the book, especially in chapter 4, you kind of get the idea that he thought his time was nearing an end while he was in prison in Rome, a imprisonment that was definitely much harder than it was the first time around. And he is therefore urgent to communicate some final words to Timothy. Again, in the verse previous to the one we read, in verse 2, he calls Timothy his beloved child. And so if he thinks his time is short, this is his opportunity to pass on one final word to Timothy, kind of last words to someone that he viewed as a mentee of his, as someone he was raising in the faith. And not only that, but because Paul was being persecuted, he understood that Timothy and Timothy's followers, or the followers of Jesus that were led by Timothy in Ephesus, that they were probably also facing all sorts of persecution. And so he gives them words of encouragement to stand fast in the midst of persecution. That's what a big chunk of 2 Timothy is encouraging Timothy to continue doing what he's doing, to continue to lead the church, despite the bad things that are going on around him. And Paul does so in part by reminding Timothy from where he came, or should we say from whom he came. Timothy had a lineage of faith. Paul praises Timothy's sincere faith, his deep, abiding faith, and he says, "Timothy, you have this faith in part because it came from your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice." Timothy did not appear out of thin air. It's not as if he just suddenly came into existence as this wonderful follower of Jesus Christ. Instead, he had people before him, generations before him that influenced him, both as followers of the Jewish way, and then as they learned the truth of Jesus Christ, they became believers in Jesus. And these two women in particular did so in such a way that it resulted in a sincere faith in Timothy, that led him to be the leader of the church in Ephesus, and that led him to be the subject of these letters of Paul that still speak to us today. Now, the same is true for many of you, I believe, that you would not be here this morning, that you would not have the sincerity of faith that you do if it were not for those who came before you. Now, quick disclaimer, there are certainly times where God moves in someone's life in which they have no background in Christianity, in which they have never spent time in church, in which they come from an atheist family. Some of the greatest apologists of our faith are ex-atheists, and so that can certainly happen. But in most of our cases, and especially in a church like this one, you are here in part today because of those who came before you. Because the faith of your parents and your grandparents, because the faith of your aunts and uncles, because the faith of those you called mom and dad, although they might have not been biologically so, because of their faith in part, you are here today. The same is true for many of you. As a matter of fact, there are people that either I don't know very well or that I never physically met that affect me and that affect this church today. For instance, Gene Harris passed away just before I came. But because of the influence he's had on his family, because of the influence he's had on this church, I mean, goodness, his daughter's been teaching Sunday school for what, 150 years or so, something like that? Because of that influence, I know something about the man. And that man's life has influenced my time, my leadership, my ability to pastor this church because of things that he did. And I don't even know him. I never met him. Another guy that I've met but I don't know well is Roger Greer, Jared's dad. But I know that in part because Roger is a pastor, it led Jared into the ministry. And that affects our ministry here today. There are people that you don't even know the names of, people that you don't even know existed, many people in this church in previous generations that I couldn't name to you, that I couldn't pick out of a book and know who they were, but they have an effect on this very moment because they have an effect on all of you. This is the beauty of our faith that we get to pass down from generation to generation. And this is why we think family is such a big deal. Because it has the power to go beyond the moment. It has the power to go beyond one singular home and to affect many homes, to affect many people, and indeed, I believe, to affect even the world. We see a brief word about Timothy's mother elsewhere in Scripture. She's not named, but in Acts 16:1, Luke writes this: Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Now, that's just mentioned very quickly in Acts 16:1. But again, whose mother, talking about Timothy, whose mother was a believer, but his father was a Greek. This means that Timothy came from a home in which he was discipled by his mom, while his dad was most likely an unbeliever. A Greek, a non-Jew, a non-believer. And we have no evidence in Scripture that Timothy's dad ever changed his mind. And yet we have Timothy rise to the position that he does, being raised by a woman of faith. It's great that we got to talk about this on Mother's Day. And one thing that I want to focus on for just a moment is that this is a reminder that the word family can present itself in a multitude of ways. That it could present itself with one believing parent and one unbelieving parent. That it could present itself with one active and available parent and one absent parent. And when I was looking back in the history of parenting, and especially when it comes to single parents, one thing I noticed is that there are a lot of famous people that were raised in single-parent households, especially single-mom households. Many professional athletes today were raised in single-mother households. Some of those are great role models. Some of them aren't, obviously. But did you know, for instance, here's maybe someone you didn't know was raised in a single-parent household. At the age of 11, George Washington's father died, and the rest of his childhood was spent being raised by his mother. I believe it was Andrew Jackson whose father died before he was even born, and yet he also rose to the presidency to become a key figure in American history. It wasn't just the last president. Barack Obama is the product of a single mother household, as is Bill Clinton. It's been several presidents throughout our history, whatever you think about those guys. But certainly we like George Washington, right? And George Washington was the product of, at least through his teenage and formative years, a single parent, single mom household. God can move in any situation. Whatever your situation looks like, whatever it is that your family looks like, maybe it's one biological parent and one step parent, maybe it's adoptive parents, maybe it's you were raised partly in foster care or in a children's home. Whatever that looks like, in whatever way God moves, God gives that family, whatever it looks like, however it's put together, however it's formed, God imbues that family with authority and with power and with faith that can affect not only that family, but generations to come. And Paul not only talks about Timothy's lineage of faith, he alludes to his own in verse 3 that we read a moment ago. Paul says, "I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors." Paul even notes, while he's talking to Timothy about the lineage of his own faith, he even notes very briefly that he too is not here by accident. He too did not raise to the area that he is simply on his own, but partly due, in fact, to those who came before him. And so many of us stand here this morning, or sit here this morning, in a similar context. For many of us, our faith is a gift of the grace of God mediated to us through the love of our parents. Faith is always a gift primarily from God, but many of us were given that faith, had that faith shared with us by our parents. Paul continues, and he encourages Timothy to continue on that legacy. In verse 6, he says, "For this reason, because of what I've told you, Paul, or Timothy, because of the legacy of faith that is present in your ancestry, because of this, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." In other words, Paul is saying, look and see what those people have done. Remember your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, the faith that they had. See what they have done. Do that same thing. Share the faith the way they did. Continue to keep that generational blessing going from this one to the next. Share that with all of those around you, but certainly share that within your own home. A ripple of faith has the potential to become a tidal of faith in the world. A ripple of faith at home has the potential to become a tidal wave of faith in the world. The faith of a woman named Eunice, mentioned one time in Scripture, who was married to an unbeliever, a huge no-no in that day. That faith was passed on to Timothy, and his faith has resulted in millions, if not billions, of people taking solace and finding inspiration by letters penned by Paul that were written to him and bear his name. It is amazing what God can do with a family that follows him together. That's why we believe that family is important. That's why we want to equip you and resource you to be the kind of family that God is calling you to be. Not so that you can have a happy household. We want you to have a happy household. Not so that your kids can be successful. We want your kids to be successful. But the main purpose of all of it is so that the name of Jesus Christ might be glorified in your family and beyond. Is so that we as families, individuals as families, might come together to realize that the best way we can spread the gospel, that we can adhere to and obey the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, is to start in our home, to make disciples of those who live with us, so that they might make disciples of those who live with them, and that those disciples might make disciples of their families. This is exactly how faith grows. It's how faith grew. We have the missionary movement, of course, where people were being converted who never believed in Christianity, but we also have families all over the world that raised their children never knowing themselves to be anything other than Christian. And by that, the faith was grown as well. This is a key part, if not the key part, of our evangelism strategy in the world today, is to start at home. To start the ripples at home today. If you want to change the world for Christ, look in your own home. Start at home. It might mean that you are continuing a long lineage of faith. On my mom's side, I don't know how far back it goes, believers in Jesus. I don't know when there was an evangelist that shared with the Bankhead family. That's my mom's maiden name. I don't know when in our history. It's so ancient to me that I don't know when it actually began, which is wonderful. And so you might be in a similar situation where you are continuing a long tradition of sharing faith with the next generation. Or you might be in a completely different situation where you are looking to author a brand new tradition, where you are looking to change the legacy of your family, a legacy that is faithless instead of faithful. And if you are in that position, I do not want you to feel guilty or to somehow feel lesser than anybody else. The same Jesus is in you that is in Billy Graham. And the same Jesus that is in you is in all of us today. So I don't want you to feel guilty or lesser than, but what I want you to realize is that you have an amazing potential. You have an amazing gift and opportunity to be that generation in which faith intersects the story of your family and it echoes and reverberates beyond you into the generations that come after you. You have the opportunity to be that person that I speak of, that I spoke of moments ago, that a couple of hundred years from now, people will talk about your grandkids, great, great, great grandkids, talk about the faith that they have, that they will be sharing faith with those in their home and with those around them. Nobody will remember your name, but your faith will echo far beyond you. You have that opportunity, regardless of what's happened before you. And so whatever situation you are in, I hope that you realize that that ripple of faith at home can become something much greater in the whole scheme of things. Pastor Andy Stanley says it this way, a quote you've probably heard me say before. Your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but someone you raise. Look at that again. Your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but someone you raise. And I want you to open your mind up to what it means to raise someone. It can be someone who is your biological child. It can be someone that you have the opportunity to mentor. But passing on that faith to the next generation. And we are here once again at the close of this family series to remind you, as we have been again and again and again, you can do this and we can help. We can come alongside you and resource you and equip you so that you might start the ripples of faith today at home. And so I encourage you to begin those conversations. I encourage you to begin having those moments in your home in which you share faith, in which you, like Billy Graham's mother, gather everybody around and talk about the importance of Jesus, the importance of the Bible, that you make it a regular habit. And if you need some help doing that, we have some pointers in the Home Connection Service. We have one over being an intentional parent and what that looks like. And we encourage you to go check that out. And introducing your children to Christ, there is that pointer down there as well. And specifically for Mother's Day today, we have a couple of Mother's Day recipe cards that will help you honor your mom in a unique way. We encourage especially those of you who are children in homes, go check those out. There's some pretty cool things about making a big award ceremony for your mom and all kinds of cool stuff. You don't have to do it just during Mother's Day, but it's a great opportunity. And so we want you to know that we want to come alongside you and equip you to do that. To be, again, either in a long list of generations that share the faith and continue to share the faith, or to be the first generation that shares the faith and changes your family tree forever. A ripple of faith at home has the potential to become a tidal wave of faith in the world. We want your home to be God-centered, to be full of speech about Jesus Christ, to be full of the love of Jesus Christ. We want it to because we love you, because we love your kids, because we want what is best for you. But we also want that because we know that that is the best way to fulfill the Great Commission and make disciples. It starts at home. You can do it, and we can help. During our time of invitation, if you want to pray about this or anything else, I will be down here to pray with you this morning, and the altar will be open as well. Bill and Lynn are going to come lead us in a song of invitation after I pray, and again, I just encourage you to move in whatever way God is calling you to. I'll be here after the service if you want to talk then. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and you move in whatever way God is calling. Father, again, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for our mothers. God, I thank you for my mom and the impact that she had on me, especially the faith that she and my dad and generations before imparted to me. God, I pray that you would continue to use me to lead people in general, but to lead in particular Corbin and Cannon, to lead my wife, to lead our family, to become all about you. And God, I pray that you would raise up all of us in this room this morning to be the types of families that spread faith from one generation to the next. God, help some new stories be authored through this group. Help some legacies be changed and help some legacies continue to grow. God, we thank you for the gift of family. And God, we thank you that you use families to fulfill your great commission and take the word out into the world. God, be with us during this time and show us how that we might start ripples at home that can be tidal waves in the rest of the world. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Take